and bring on the news on WRCO-FM in Richland Center. News This Hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, enhancing the relationships with those you love. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 28 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Three police officers in Washington, D.C. have been shot. Their injuries appear to be non-life-threatening. Not many other details are available right now. For the first time in 150 years, the House has impeached a cabinet member, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, facing criticism for the Biden administration's handling of the southern border. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
Republicans celebrating the victory, though three GOP lawmakers sided with Democrats, who say this is a policy dispute, not an impeachable offense. After an embarrassing defeat last week, Republicans barely succeeded on their second try, with Congressman Steve Scalise casting that breakthrough vote by returning to Congress after cancer treatment.
The vote would have been even closer if the results of a special election held yesterday in New York were in place. Democrat Tom Suozzi winning back his old seat, which had been held by now indicted former Republican Congressman George Santos. This is ABC News. A lot of cruise passengers upset over a huge change to their trip while they were on board.
A Norwegian cruise was scheduled to travel around South America, then to Paradise Bay, Antarctica. But after boarding, Helen Midler says the itinerary changed.
We are not going anywhere near mainland Antarctica, which is what we paid for.
Officials say new regulations due to whales in the area forced the change. Norwegian saying, while we try to maintain original itineraries as much as possible, at times modifications are made to optimize the itinerary or to accommodate certain circumstances.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Another case of passengers behaving badly. This time, two guys trading punches on a flight from Oakland to Hawaii. No word on charges, but they could face FAA fines of up to $37,000. Catching a ride or getting some food delivered might be a little tougher today. Drivers for Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash all picking Valentine's Day to protest for better pay. Thousands expected to take part. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. Happy February! Valentine's Day is around the corner. Stop in and find the perfect gift for your sweetheart. A free box of chocolate with every purchase, and we wrap for free at Pamela's for your Valentine's gift in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 Monday through Sunday with all of your lunchtime favorites, burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469 for carryouts. From the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Today's forecast calls for a high of 44 degrees with a mix of sun and clouds. 28 for tonight. Looks like some rain developing, maybe some snow then after midnight. 1 to up to 4 inches across a widespread area of western and southwestern Wisconsin. An overnight low of 28 and tomorrow's high 34. A winter weather advisory has been issued for Vernon, Richland, and Sauk counties from midnight through 6 a.m. tomorrow. In Richland Center right now, it is 28 degrees. Get ready to light up the sky this 4th of July with Sky Ink Pyro's Tax Return Presale. They're offering incredible deals at all consumer-grade fireworks. Pre-order now and get a 10% discount. This is a veteran-owned business. Secure your stash now and they'll store your fireworks until the last week of June. It's the perfect way to turn your tax return into a dazzling display of celebration. Call or text 870-214-8247 to pre-order and snag the best deals on fireworks. Plus, for an extra splash of excitement, they're offering private shows. Make this 4th of July unforgettable with Sky Ink Pyro, where the celebration begins with a bang. Call or text 870-214-8247 now to light up your Independence Day. Roof. What's that, Lassie? Larry Ferguson from Advanced Pump and Well Solutions fell in the well, and we need ropes and many townspeople to show up at the old mill?
Roof.
Oh, I misunderstood, Lassie. Larry and the gang at Advanced Pump and Well can help you with your project, big and small. They have over 50 years' experience serving residential, agriculture, and commercial water systems. Their number is 608-649-4488.
Roof.
Tell them to hurry because Phil needs a shower. Hey!
Roof.
Hi, my name is Molly. I'm a third grade student at St. Mary's School. St. Mary's Elementary School and the Knights of Columbus will be hosting a drive-through fish fry on Friday, February 16th in St. Mary's School's parking lot from 4:30 until 7. We will be serving baked and fried fish, baked and cheesy potatoes, coleslaw, applesauce, and a garlic biscuit. The cost of the meal is $11, with the option to add extra fish for $2 per piece. Again, the drive-through fish fry is February 16th from 4:30 to 7 at St. Mary's School. See you there!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, today we focus on all the good things going on at Weston Schools. And Gary Siftestead joins us here. He's a man of many hats at Weston Schools.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing real well. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Always good to be here.
You're even the athletic director. I talk to you once in a while with that.
I think we have a plan lined up where I will hand that off at the end of the school year into the summer. And so that'll be a good thing because it doesn't mix well with the other roles that I have.
Wearing a few other hats. We brought you in September at the start of the school year. You had a couple of new teachers in here. It seems like only yesterday, and now here we are at, into the second semester.
Second semester, well into the second semester. And, though winter sports are wrapping up here, it's just interesting how March is that month in between the sports, but yet it's so busy with so many activities that are not sports related. So, it's a great time, and we've got a lot going on at Weston, and we can talk about some of that as we go along this morning.
Yeah, we had Chuck Keller on yesterday talking about many things, including the Kaz fishery, but I know that some of your programs, your baseball team, in fact, helps out a little bit with that.
Yeah, and actually it's interesting you mentioned that. I was at a principal's meeting last week over at Soldiers Grove at Country Garden, and Dave Burgum, the conference commissioner, was talking about how he makes a couple Adirondack chairs for the Kaz fishery. So he was telling me, I got to get that over to Chuck Keller to, be on one of the items that they're going to have up for auction. So really neat how people come in and, support different things like that to raise funds.
Sure.
And the Kaz fishery, I'm guessing it goes to the Kaz turkey busters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they just do wonderful things with scholarships and things like that. So, Darren College, that was my guess.
Oh, Darren College?
The sports trivia this morning. I didn't guess Brian Belaga. So Darren College was my guess.
That's, youngest man to start in a Super Bowl there.
That was interesting. I already got the text from Ken Thede, too. It looks like he's listening. So how you doing out there, Ken?
That's the Ken Thede alert.
So interesting enough, Darren College, back 8 years ago, 8 summers ago, coming up here, I went on what they call an Army Educator Tour. And I went to Fort Jackson in South Carolina. And Darren College was actually, when he got out of the NFL, he was from Boise State, and his family had a rich tradition in the Army, helicopter pilots in the Army. And so when he retired out of football after playing for the Packers, and I think he played for one more team, he actually joined and enlisted in the Army, and he was at Fort Jackson when I was there going through his basic training.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Very interesting.
That's awesome.
Kind of like the Pat Tillman type thing. Played his football, had his career, and then joined the military. He wanted to be a helicopter pilot.
Wow, good for him.
So, yeah, I don't know if he's still in there, but kind of an interesting little side note to that trivia question.
Well, we'll save that for Triviathon later this year.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of sports, Weston, boy, you've had a good run with basketball, you know, and I think you're getting pretty good numbers out for boys sports, aren't you?
Yeah, the boys are doing really well. You know, I wish if I could roll things back a year, I wish our boys were this competitive last year. Because I really think they would be breaking through with more victories this year if they'd been competitive last year. But we've been highly competitive. We have gone toe-to-toe with every school in the conference stretches of the game. We've had, you know, stretches where we, you know, like we were up 1 point on Ithaca a couple weeks ago at halftime. And then, you know, I think Ithaca came out with like a 28-7 run. And that kind of, you know, and then we kind of settled in and played pretty well the last third of the second half. So, I mean, we've been very competitive. We have won some games. And I think we have three conference games left, Kickapoo, Wazika, and
North Crawford.
The other one, actually, we played North Crawford last. Seneca's the other one.
Okay.
Yep. And those are very winnable games, ones that we were in the first time in the conference round. And so I'm hopeful that we'll bust through. I did look up, Phil, here's a little trivia too. I did look up with WIS Sports. I went back. So Weston has not, other than beating Lafarge in conference, we have not beaten another conference opponent in boys basketball since the 2015-16 season. So I'm really hoping over these next three conference games that we can bust through and beat a few of these conference teams. It would be quite an accomplishment considering where the program's been.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, of course, baseball season. I've been thinking a lot about baseball season here when this weather is pretty nice.
Yeah, although I heard your weather forecast and it doesn't sound the greatest for tonight. So, yeah, baseball should be, it should be a real Donnybrook as far as the teams going at it. I know, obviously, Ithaca's got a lot coming back. We have a lot coming back. We faced each other in the sectional semifinal last year. And so, it should be an exciting baseball season.
Yeah, I think everybody's in the same regional this year, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. And in terms of your girls' sports, I know you're trying to build those up. You weren't able to field the girls' basketball team this year. But
yeah, we played a JV schedule this year for girls' basketball. We had seven girls out, and we're currently at six. And we have two games left. We play Wazika Thursday night, and then turn around the next night and play Richland Center here at Richland Center.
Okay. And so, hoping for some numbers there to improve?
We've got some eighth graders coming up that hopefully will stick with it. And, you know, I think in talking to some of the Six Rivers Conference ADs, I have had some communications with some of those conference ADs down there because they're a little further ahead in the co-op sports game. So you got like Potosi, Cassville, that co-op in almost everything. Mm-hmm. Monticello, Albany. Albany, fun fact, last year Albany went all the way to the state championship, was undefeated until the state championship girls, and then they lost to Chippewa Falls McDonnell. They're actually co-op with Monticello this year, so that's a new co-op. And then Peck Argyle, which we know they've co-opted in football for, you know, over 30 years probably, and this year they're actually co-opting in girls basketball. So I've reached out to a lot of those ADs and had conversations with them, asked some questions, gotten feedback, and, you know, kind of what they say is whatever your numbers are at the junior high youth, by the time you get up to high school, it seems like about half. So if you got eight girls in the eighth grade, probably only four of them are going to stick with it, so that's kind of what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. And certainly the narrative in the state is that volleyball numbers have gone up and girls basketball numbers have gone down. And we see that at Weston as well. So we're definitely exploring some of those options as far as potential co-ops and looking at some other things, you know, within our district as far as hopefully trying to get some numbers up.
You're already co-oping with Wanewoc Center for football,
yes,
and Ithaca for wrestling and track.
Track, correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, one thing kind of going against us is we only have 25 girls in the high school. So that's, it's just, you know, I don't know. Growing up, it seemed like there was always more girls than guys. But right now we have, you know, about 2.5 to 1 guys to girls.
Huh. Tough to find someone to dance with at the Valentine's dance.
Well, there you go. There you go. Happy Valentine's, by the way.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Bring a bottle of high-quality H2O for you. I noticed, you know, every time I've come down here, you have the other schools displayed, and we haven't been here. So I brought a bottle, and Henry had me put it up on the shelf. So
honorary.
Weston's sitting next to the Ithaca Bulldog bottle.
All right. Yeah. We've got about every school represented now, don't we?
Good stuff.
So off the field of play and everything, I know you've got a lot of stuff coming up here, as you mentioned, in the month of March. Anything you'd like to talk about, Gary?
Yeah, well, I think one thing is just kind of foreshadowing for people out there that next Wednesday, a week from today, you will have Sadie Bailey, our FFA ag instructor, coming, and she's bringing down the FFA officers to talk about FFA week. So I think that's something worth mentioning. And the sheep project is humming along up at Weston. I think that last count we were about 17 lambs that have been born here in the last month.
My goodness.
And so we've had two sets of twins and one set of triplets. And so it's good stuff.
It'll be fun to hear about that.
Or it's bad stuff. I don't know. So, but it's been really good stuff, and it's been great to see the kids get involved and helping out, you know, feeding, milking, things like that. So
you got to be proud of the FFA and
and I
as
think
active as they are.
You know, the kids, I've been really impressed with not only the kids getting more involved, but also some of the parents helping out as well. So it's been encouraging, and I'm glad to see that we're still moving it in a positive direction.
And they manufacture some of the things that they make
sheep soap, mm-hmm, as well, which doesn't really require too much milking with sheep. But then what requires a lot of milking of to make is a lot of sheep milk is the gelato. So they make gelato coming up here this spring. And then, you know, I guess that can be a good segue into one event that we have going on. Is on March 9th, Saturday, March 9th, we have the Spring Arts and Crafts Fair up at Weston. That's put on by the class of 2026. There's 70 booths. So if you're an arts and crafts person, that's a great place to be. From 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock on Saturday, March 9th, there will be concessions. And this is where the segue is. The Sheep Project will be selling gelato that day as well. So if you want to try out the sheep gelato, that's a great day to try it.
Okay. And that's a fundraiser, so they charge
a
little bit.
Yeah, the class of 2026 is doing it.
Cool. So they charge for the booth space,
yes,
and then make a little money
so
off the concession.
It's a good thing, and I think it's the third year that we've been doing the spring one. And Maggie Lansinger is kind of the one that orchestrates that, and she does and organizes it, and it's well run and well done.
And as you mentioned, first year teacher for your FFA program.
Sadie's doing a nice job. And again, she's working on getting her milk hauling license. It seems a little strange. We have our little kind of barn out on the side in the back of the school. And then our dairy processing plant is just inside the building. But by regulations, state regulations, you actually have to have a milk hauler license to take it from, you know, probably what would be, I don't know, 150 yards.
Are you, you kidding
know?
Me? I've never heard of such a thing.
You have to have a milk hauling license. So you have to be 18 and have that license to actually haul the milk from the barn to the dairy processing plant.
Huh. So back in the day when I was carrying milk before the Step Saver, I should have had a milk hauling license.
You were ahead of your time, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. So I thought you were going to tell me that you were going to have a truck and you were going to drive it somewhere.
No, it's just carrying it even.
Okay. So interesting. Anything else in March?
Yeah. So we have the next Wednesday, February 21st, we have the National Honor Society Blood Drive with the American Red Cross. And that's from 11 to 4 p.m. at Weston. Walk-ins are welcome, or donors can reserve a time on the American Cross website. And obviously, as we know, blood is urgently needed at all times. And if you do donate next Wednesday at Weston, donors will receive a $20 Amazon gift card and also receive a coupon for a Culver's pint and a free drink at Quick Trip. So little incentive there. I know a lot of longtime blood donors don't need that incentive, but it's still a good little thing to have. And, you know, again, community walk-ins are welcome. So 11 to 2 next Wednesday at the school.
That's good to know. And some students can, with parent permission, I think they can.
Yeah,
get
they
well.
Actually have dropped that down. It used to be 17, now it's 16 with parent permission. And I think the Red Cross would tell you that if they can get kids doing it at high school level, then lots of times those kids will become lifetime donors. I know myself, I'm up just a little over 10 gallons now.
Good for you.
But I didn't start until actually age 30. And that was, you know, we didn't really have blood donations when I was in school. And then it kind of started after. And so I was, it wasn't until my first year teaching at Reedsburg back in 2000 that, you know, that was my first time donating. So it's a neat thing. And I think it's very helpful.
Catch them early, and it's all about that. And, you know, maybe encouraging volunteerism for
Absolutely.
Other things, too.
So. Yeah, so hopefully many come out for that. This Friday, we do have a taco dinner before the boys' basketball game. The boys play Wazika at Weston. The class of 2025 is putting on that taco dinner. It will be in the cafeteria up above in the high school, and then walk on down the hall to the JV and varsity boys basketball game against Wazika. So again, the class of 2025, and that starts at 4:30.
Okay.
So a good opportunity to have a meal and enjoy some basketball. And then next Thursday, February 22nd, from 5 to 8 p.m. at Reedsburg Culver's, there is a Culver's share night, and the proceeds for that go to the Weston Healthy Snack Initiative. So a couple years ago, Ashley Shaw, our kindergarten teacher, former teacher from Richland Center, Ashley Muller was her name when she went to Richland Center, she started a healthy snack initiative, you know, to help kids, you know, if it's mid-morning and their bellies are a little empty, here's a healthy snack for them to kind of get them to lunch. And so last year it was just the elementary. This year it's the whole district. If there's students that need a snack, even say our athletes that are leaving for an away game and they need something, you know, in between the end of the day and the start of the game, they can go get a healthy snack from that room. So it's been a great project, something that a lot of people have really gotten behind. And again, next Thursday at the Reedsburg Culver's, it's a share night, and all proceeds will go to the Healthy Snack Initiative. And then if anybody is interested in donating to that cause, aside from the Culver's share night, there's lots of ways you can do that by visiting our website and you know, looking for the donation tab there. So
the healthy snacks, then, they're free if a student goes in there?
Yep, they are okay. Free, yeah. And, you know, it's all kinds of fruits, vegetables, granola bars, you know, lots of things like that. Walmart's been very helpful with that. Oakwood Fruit Farm has been very gracious with donating a lot of apples the last 2 years. So it's been a great project, a great thing, and we hope to keep it moving along. And Ashley's got a lot of drive to have success for that.
Good. So then raising some money there for some other expenses to keep it going.
And, you know, again, food prices have gone up, so it is taking on some extra costs there.
Recently, I know that you had, because I talked to Jess at the Pizza Ranch in Reedsburg, but a couple of Weston clubs had their community nights there, too.
Yep. Actually, the girls' basketball program had one, and the FBLA had one as well. Yeah, and it's very successful, so... Yeah, Jess Cook. Yep, she's does a nice job at the Reedsburg Pizza Ranch and very helpful.
Former coach at Weston, too, I think.
Yes.
I think volleyball,
maybe. And her dad coached ag and tech ed there for many, many years. Actually, back in when I was there in the late 90s, he was teaching that time. So, yeah, I Jim was a great colleague.
Great. So, yeah. Little Jess history. We'll have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Save that for trivia.
What'd you have her here for? Or you just bump into her?
What's that? No. She does a call in every Monday.
Oh,
here.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very
yep.
Nice.
For the Pizza Ranch.
That's
so
cool.
So we were keeping tabs on some of the Weston fundraisers there too. Yeah. So, but right now, you know, one of the talk in the area, you know, lots of schools are going to referendum, Gary. And what's Weston's? How does Weston stand right now?
So we're next year will be year four of our referendum, and so we will be looking April of 25, so a year from this April of that election, we will have a referendum question. And we'll know more specifically what that referendum question will look like probably about December, January. And it'll be an operational one. It won't be a capital improvement one. So it's, you know, one of those to keep the doors open and keep things running along and keep kind of the resources and services and the personnel that we have currently. And, you know, we look at that very closely. We get together with our financial company, Baird, and really look that over. And, you know, we very much try and keep it at a doable amount as far as the mill rate goes. And, you know, just trying to make it sure that the school district's well provided for, but at the same time, we're not putting an undue tax upon our taxpayer, our constituents. And, you know, for instance, the current one we have did not raise the taxes from the prior level. It was about the same. The capital improvement that we had on the last referendum did bump it up a little bit, but still, even with that and some of the projections, they always project a little conservative, a little, you know, high, so that hopefully it comes in a little lower, and it did. So the mill rate actually was projected to be like 11.63, and it came in more like at 10.85. And now our mill rate's even gone down further, as most districts have.
Okay. So in terms of the buildings, it wouldn't be for building out, but maybe upkeep and things like that?
Yeah, sure. It would be very much just keep the programs we have and keep doing the things we're doing. So, but, you know, with that, you know, to keep doing the things we're doing, the price of doing that has gone up as well. So, you know, I just think like an example would be for the Ridge and Valley Conference to get more officials, a bigger pool of officials for sports. You know, they have to pull sometimes from the Madison, the lacrosse area, wherever it may be. And the Ridge and Valley usually has to pay a little more than some of the other conferences because those officials are having to travel. And, you know, so it's just like, here we are, a smaller school, we have smaller budgets, and yet we're having to pay a little more for officials. So, you know, things like that, just those are little things, but still to keep things and the programs moving along like you have and you want to keep providing the opportunities for students, you know, we have to be able to fund those things through the taxes that come in.
Do you pay mileage for those officials, or is
yes.
it just
yep.
okay?
And we're one of the few conferences that still
that
pay
does.
Mileage.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where a little bit of the money comes in
yep.
there too.
Yep. So it's you know, I very much appreciate our officials, and I guess a shout out to all those officials that are doing it still. Very much appreciate it. And I'll just say to the fans, I hope that you consider carefully what, you know, how you react to the officials and say what you say, because as I've been telling all the officials this year, it's funny how your hair color mirrors the hair color of all the other officials that we've been having. I mean, I don't know where we're going to go in 5 years with officiating, because there's a lot of officials that are walking around with gray and silver hair, and
yep.
they don't have too many years left.
Older than you and I.
That's yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, and kudos to them, and very much appreciate it. But, you know, there aren't a lot of replacements coming along, and that's a concern.
When I see officials walk in, sometimes you'll see somebody like a younger guy, and they stick out. It's like, oh, hey.
Absolutely.
Where do they come from?
Well, I think, you know, the one that I can think of here this year that wasn't doing it last year is Jacob Hips from Ithaca. He's okay. been doing some officiating this year, and that's mm-hmm. That's about the youngest one I know of that has jumped into the officiating pool.
Does a good job.
Yeah.
So when you meet with the other Ridge and Valley administrators and ADs and everything, they're all kind of facing similar problems, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. DeSoto and Seneca girls basketball right now, they're only playing varsity, and both those schools are down to, I think, 7 girls basketball players. North Crawford, their high school, I think, is fine right now, but you know, they emailed us back about 6 weeks ago and said, you know, hey, when you come for middle school basketball, we can only play one game because we don't have enough girls to do 2 games. So it's happening other places. And as you know, Phil, it's not just a small school thing. I mean, I haven't heard as much this year, but last year there was some big schools that canceled the rest of their season down by Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think some of that, you know, you can blame some on the COVID years a little bit, but there's some other factors coming in too.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked about combining programs in the future, you know, for sports, but is there talk about combining, you know, maybe using and utilizing, you know, like one staff member for both schools and things like that a little bit more?
I think you hit upon we've had some discussions, and I think there are some positions that lend itself to something like that. You know, something like a librarian, perhaps. I know there's even bigger districts that only have one librarian for the whole district, and then, you know, like they'll have paraprofessionals that are kind of overseeing the library, and then the librarian just travels around and checks in. So, I mean, I do think some of those positions we have to look at too as potential shared services. And again, helpful in helping our bottom line, our margin of the money that we have to spend.
Mm-hmm. School funding is a big issue then too, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And it really hasn't changed since 1993, the formula. And, you know, what we've been kind of told is if you were a frugal district back in 93, you're kind of paying for it now, and those that spent a little more freely back in 93 when the state locked in that formula, the ones that were frugal, you're still not getting as much, and the ones that spent a little more freely are getting more today because the formula remains the same.
Oh, okay. So, that was about the time of Weston's building project, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I think they built in like 91 and opened it in 92.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got it in kind of just under the wire there a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. But, you know, that's more of that capital improvement again. This is more the operational, the what's coming state funding year to year. So capital improvement, you don't really get too much of a state break on that.
This is the time for open enrollment too. It's underway. Do you see some kids coming into the district?
Yeah, we get a few. We don't get a lot. You know, some of the districts around us have students that are, you know, residents in our district, but I wouldn't say we have a lot that are leaving, and conversely, we don't have a lot that are coming in.
You're right in the middle, you know, because you border, what, how many school districts does Weston border?
Let's see. Well, a little bit touches River Valley, Richland Center, Ithaca, Hillsboro, Waniwak, and then the big one, of course, is Reedsburg.
I was going to say that.
So,
you have a lot of people right on the line.
We really
you?
Do. And it is interesting. Some of those open enrolled people are right on the line, and they'll decide, you know, we're going to come to Weston.
Mm-hmm. You made the decision a few years ago. Now, you don't have your own bus system anymore, do you?
No, we contract with Lamers, the same mm-hmm. one that River Valley does.
Yeah. How's that been going for you?
It's a pretty good relationship. You know, for example, we've purchased four vans, passenger vans. So we're using those a lot to sometimes, depending on the size of the teams, they will take those vans to contests. Our wrestlers to go down to Ithaca for practice will take a van. But for instance, last night, there was a van that went to wrestling practice that wasn't supposed to go. And, so then all of a sudden it was like the boys basketball team's going to North Crawford and the middle school girls are going to Wazika.
Uh-oh.
The middle school girls had two vans And all of a sudden, the boys' basketball, how are we going to get them to North Crawford? And I was able to call one of the bus drivers and call the kind of the hub director for Lamers and say, you know, I know this isn't, we don't have a manifest for this or anything, but are you okay if Jeff Bryce will take the basketball team? And so our basketball team was a little late to North Crawford last night, but, you know, they all got there and it was fine. So great to have that relationship. Our drivers are local. But we also started the year with four routes and we're down to three. And that's because, again, the national narrative you hear, there are not a lot of bus drivers. And I think it's a lot like officiating. It's kind of a thankless job.
Yeah, I think it is too. So you're covering more ground with less buses then, in other words.
Yep.
Yeah. So that can be a challenge. Probably make some of the rides a little bit longer too.
A little bit. They aren't actually too much longer. And I would say like a bus driver like Jeff Bryce that often drives the sports teams, he used to be back to the school about 4:10 or 4:15 when it was four routes, and now it's more like 4:20 to 4:30 that he gets back. So it's added probably about 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's a real puzzle to put together, though, when you can get all those rides and throw in middle school and everything.
Absolutely, and I don't think I would. I don't think I would want to be that person that's like, you know, saying, okay, you're picking these up, and you know.
Yeah, but that's the other thing when you are co-oping, you know, you got to figure out who's going to go or if you're going to host practice.
Absolutely.
Or how that works.
And, you know, there's contests that you know the wrestling team's headed another direction, like Reedsburg, early in the school year early in the season, they had the Reedsburg invite, and you know, then Ithaca just picks our kids up at the school. You know?
Oh, I but see.
Most of the time, our kids are headed down there, and we're taking off from there. So, are you announcing this Saturday?
Yes, the
sectional over at Mineral Point.
I'll be at the Dells.
The Dells. Okay.
Yeah, that's where Richland Center, okay. River Valley go. All yeah, right.
Yeah, so. Should be good wrestling action. A lot of fans and a lot of excitement.
Yeah, you bet. This time of year is...
And the girls, I think, mm-hmm. are involved this year, right?
Yes, girls yeah. started the sectional.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a great thing.
And that's a sport where numbers have really come up as well, Gary.
Yes, so much so that the Cole Center is going to host, for a second year in a row, state girls wrestling. And I know in our conference, some of the schools have a few, but I think it's Kickapoo. I think they have like 13 girls.
I know. Yeah.
Part of their wrestling program, which is, you know, that's great. Again, all about providing opportunities for students and giving them experiences.
Participation.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of our talk has been about sports, but, you know, you think about sports representing your school for one thing, but you think about your when your sports teams do well, you know, the school spirit is good. I mean, there's a lot of important things.
It is. And, you know, it's always interesting. You know, sometimes you get asked, how's the team going to be this year? It seems like nobody ever asks, how's your fourth-hour biology class going to be this year?
But good point.
You know, and having been in administration now for 12 years, it's interesting even at the school board level. You know, some of your most contentious and lengthy school board meetings are related to athletics. And it's like, it's a big piece of the whole child, educating the whole child. But, you know, at the end of the day, the academics is first. And sometimes those board meetings, like, they get off the rails as far as, like, we should be talking more about academics and not as much about athletics. But, you know... People love their athletics, and like you said, a lot of people take the pride in how their teams do.
You bet. On the other side, though, I know that it's, I'm not going to say that it's easy, but it's more common to get an academic scholarship than it is an athletic scholarship.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And, you know, I guess you could, either way, you could work hard for a scholarship, and you might not get one, but yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
And I think the legislature, did I hear they just signed something that said, or there was some...
Yeah, that was on this morning where the top 5%...
Top 5% Madison has to accept, and then I think the rest have to accept the top 10.
10%, yeah.
So that's an interesting compromise, mm-hmm. I guess. But.
It is, and of course the universities, as we know, their numbers are down too, so
absolutely.
I think they have to kind of look at some things differently too.
Yeah,
You bet. Gary Sipta said our guest on the morning show. We'll have more coming up after the break.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Tired of counting sheep? Hi, this is Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Did you know that one-third of your life is spent sleeping? The 7 to 9 hours we should spend catching Z's helps the body heal itself, activate the immune system, and give your heart a break. Want to sleep on a Wisconsin-made high-quality mattress? Stop down to our new sister company, Bed & Linen, located on Highway 14, Spring Green, and let us show you why we wake up so refreshed.
Wisconsin voters, listen up for important information about a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The court has ruled that Wisconsin's current state legislative maps are unconstitutional. While Wisconsin is closely divided between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, these Republican-drawn maps have allowed them to keep big majorities in the state legislature, even when more people voted for the other party. Republicans have used these rigged maps to stay in power and serve their special interest friends, while being unaccountable to Wisconsin voters, undermining progress on important issues that Wisconsin really cares about, like rising costs, gun violence, and abortion access. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered that new maps be drawn to protect our freedoms and make sure our voices are heard. Visit abetterwisconsin.org/fairmaps to tell the Wisconsin Supreme Court thank you for standing up for fair maps. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is Garrett with Vitesnik Power Sports and V2 Boat Center. How many summers do you have to create everlasting memories that will last a lifetime? Come and see how we can help you create more family time with friends, just more time with a new boat. Join us at our in-house boat show, February 23rd to the 25th at Vitesnik's in Richland Center, and take advantage of savings up to $16,000. New boat, new experiences, and new savings at Vitesnik Power Sports, Richland Center, and V2 Boat Center, Castle Rock Lake.
Planning a timber harvest is not always an easy or simple process. There are many things to consider. Meister Log & Lumber has helped landowners make decisions since 1936. Your trees are an asset to manage on land that's an asset needing the same careful management. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber. Meister Log & Lumber will help you develop a vision for your timber assets. Call 608-434-4413.
Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel, safely drive that automobile. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Safely drive that automobile, eyes on the road, hands on the wheel. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Well, Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO. Gary Siftestad from Weston Schools is our guest, superintendent at Weston, and school year going by really quickly. You know, we talked a little bit about scholarships, and I'm guessing some of those deadlines are coming up, and your juniors are starting to look ahead at next year and some things like that.
Yeah, we're through the high school scheduling for next year, so that's a good thing. Our school counselor actually will be out on maternity leave here coming up in March, so it was kind of a like, let's get this taken care of. So they're scheduled. You're right, seniors are working on scholarships. A lot of great opportunities there for seniors to tap into, you know, people that have wanted to invest through the years. I think it's always interesting to hear some of the history of some of those scholarships and some of the people that, you know, have sponsored those scholarships through the years, you know, whether that's John Klein Memorial Scholarship or I'm trying to think of the Beru, what her first name was, but, you know, we had Mike, Mark, and Matt Beru, their mom. She was a long time EMS around Casanova, and so they sponsor a scholarship. Jeff Crary was a graduate of Weston. And then the one and maybe you know this, Phil, but maybe it even predates you. There used to be in Lime Ridge, there used to be a dentist, Dr. Bible.
Okay, I remember the name. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, his trust still kicks out at least one $3,000 scholarship a year. And, you know, you talk to some of the old Weston grads, and they're like, oh, yeah, I remember going to Dr. Bible for my dentist and, you know, stuff like that. So it's just great opportunities for our kids to hear a little bit about the history of who those people were that had the vision to invest in kids that they didn't even know, obviously. And, you know, the investment hopefully to pay off in the future by them going to some school, whether that's a trade school or a university or a college. And, advancing themselves and turning out to be a good, productive citizens for the world.
I know recently, or maybe a few years ago, the Alumni Association kind of formed and got pretty active there in Weston too, didn't it?
Yeah, and that's been a great thing. The foundation, the Silver Eagle Foundation, they have really kicked it up over the last 3 years. Lisa Unbehan Lisa Granger is the president of that, and then Maggie Lansinger is one of the officers. Marcus McCauley is one of the officers as well. But they've done a lot of great projects, fundraisers, and then they host every year now. The last 2 years, they've hosted the Distinguished Alumni Block Party. So they put on a block party the Friday night of homecoming, and they honor distinguished alumni from Weston, and now we'll be putting plaques up for those people. So it's been a great relationship, and they do a lot of great things to help promote the school and also fund a lot of great projects. They did quite a bit in our high school gym, the sound system and the new curtains. So, you know, kudos to them. They've really taken the bull by the horns and really just kind of put their feet in action and brought a lot of good projects and notoriety to Weston.
So that is how small schools are going to survive, is that kind of support. And, you know, when a need is there, people and clubs and community people stepping up.
Right? Absolutely. And they've done a nice job of, they have a letter writing campaign where they just simply ask for donations. And, you know, if you think about it, if you send out a thousand letters, you know, some people might throw a chunk at you, but you know, even if someone's just throwing a $20 check in there, you know, that adds up, and it provides scholarships and, as I mentioned, you know, different projects that they take on as they see fit.
There are more opportunities for scholarships and those kind of things, I think, than when you and I came through.
Yes, and you know, even more so from the relationship that the classes are smaller. So I mean, if you are part of a small school and you have any inkling of the idea that you might go on to school, you should absolutely apply, because there's a lot of scholarships out there. There's a lot of opportunity to probably receive a scholarship. I would say since I've been at Weston, every student that's applied for a scholarship has received at least one scholarship.
Chuck Keller was here yesterday again. Hats off to him and CESA 3 for everything they do. But do you have some kids involved in that and some work projects and things like that from
yeah,
school?
Yeah, so you're right. Chuck is kind of the guru for CESA 3 of the Youth Apprenticeship Program. And, you know, I know he oversees the Pathways to Pistons program, or was part of that, that takes place at Philback. And we do have some students that are part of the youth apprenticeship. We have one that's a farmer, one that's working construction, and the other one is a farmer as well. And the nice thing is we also, Chuck coordinates with Andy Niemeyer, our tech ed instructor, to do all kinds of industry standards and measurement type certifications. So CESA 3 has this traveling, it's basically a wheeled box that has all these different kinds of measuring tools and everything. And so what Andy does is he checks that box out for about 4 to 5 weeks from CESA. They bring it to the school, or he goes and gets it. And then he just like pulls kids in and says, you know, hey, this would be great for you if you're going to go on in the trades area to get this certification. And so these are industry standards that if these kids are going into the trades, they're going to have to do anyways, and they've already got a leg up if they do it here at Weston. And
what a good way to jumpstart it.
Yeah, right? So he's been really very proactive and aggressive in just even if kids aren't in his classes, he's pulled, you know, kids in and said, you know, male, female, doesn't matter, and just encourages them to, like, here's a certificate you can get that you never know, you might use down the line. And it's kind of like back in the day we talked about the ACT, whether you took the ACT or not, and, you know, your counselor would always advise or encourage you to take it because you never know when life throws you a curveball and you go a different direction. And so Andy's done a nice job with that. And the nice thing with that, Phil, is those that complete some of those youth apprenticeship and some of those certifications, then we can turn that into the state and we get $1,000 reimbursement for every kid that goes through. So it's money for the district. And then what we have done now, I think this will be our fifth year of doing it, is since the student is helping the district get some money through completing some of that stuff, you know, we try and give the student some of that money back. And so what Andy does is for all the seniors that have completed that, he will either through like a catalog or through like Farm and Fleet, he will order a Milwaukee tool kit that has like the drill, the saw, all that. So it's, you know, it's probably about a $350, $400 toolkit. And then at our student honors assembly that we have, he hands them to those kids that have completed those certifications. So it's really a great thing. And to send kids out with those, it fosters the next group too. You know, when Andy is handing those toolkits to those kids and in front of all their peers, you know, then those juniors and seniors that are to be, they know like, oh, if I join this program, youth apprenticeship, or do these measurement certifications, I could also get that toolkit.
And those toolkits, they'll last a long, long time.
Absolutely. And yeah, they, you know, they take them with them. And if it's a female or a male that doesn't want the toolkit, then he gets them an iPad.
That's great.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You have to wait till their schooling is done. You know, I think those kind of things, you want to make somebody, you know, if you're taking money during the school day or the school year, I think you're ineligible for athletics, aren't you? Or something.
Correct.
Like that.
Yeah. This is, this is at the tail end.
End of the year.
It's, you know, money that technically they've earned for the school that we turn in their names and show that they completed it. And then the DPI gives us $1,000 per student that we will put through. And, you know, again, the state has put a lot of money towards that, you know, career and technical ed area. So that's been helpful as well to promote it.
All right. Any other events you want to plug for Weston coming up?
Yeah, I got a couple more things. The week of March 4th through the 8th is Read Across America week. So it's not just a Weston thing. It'll be other school districts doing that as well. But on that Thursday night, March 7th, we do have a literacy night. And there'll be all kinds of games and activities and obviously books that are part of that night. But then we also have a magician by the name of Curtis Head that will be performing at 5 o'clock. And again, that's at the school. And there will also be, here's a bonus, from 5:45 to 6:30, Pizza Hut Pizza for all guests served in the cafeteria.
So ooh.
Come see a magician and then have a Pizza Hut Pizza for supper after that.
Hmm. I could make the pizza disappear, probably.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I'm not a magician.
Nobody out pizzas the hut, is that what they say?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. And then March 12th is ACT Day. That's statewide. All the juniors will be taking the ACT test. And I just bring that up because what we've done for that day, which a lot of districts have done as well. So the juniors are the only ones in the high school at school that day. They're taking the ACT, obviously, in a classroom where it's quiet and there aren't other students around and we're not switching classes and things like that. So it's a good test-taking environment. And then what we do is the freshmen and sophomores, we send them out to job shadows, work sites, presentations, and then also colleges so they can do some of those visitings. To some of those work sites and colleges and, you know, hopefully priming the pump a little bit of, you know, hey, maybe here's something I want to do. Or, you know, once in a while you do hear about a student that makes a connection and they follow up and next thing you know, they're hired by that place. So that's what the freshmen, sophomores do. And then the seniors have an opportunity to also do college visits, work site on their own, or they can come in and get help with writing their scholarships.
Oh, okay.
So it's a great day, and it gives a good testing environment for the juniors who obviously are taking the ACT statewide.
Good. I'm glad I don't have to take it again.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. So
it was hard enough the first time.
Yes. So. Yeah. Indeed. So one little side note I just wanted to tell you. So back in mid-January, the State Education Convention was being held down in Milwaukee, and the hotel I stayed at was the Hilton Milwaukee Center City. I think it's City Center, it's called. So it's pretty close to where the convention is. But interesting enough, that is where the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame is.
Cool.
And so I was walking down this one hallway, and sure enough, there I saw a plaque of Ron Fruit.
There he was.
Yeah, I snapped a picture of it and sent it to my brother-in-law, Ron's brother, and said, hey, look who I saw. But
hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see all those announcers and radio broadcasters up on that wall. So hoping that one day would be much deserved that you're up there as well.
Oh, boy, I don't know about that, but thank you.
I think so. You do a lot for the community, and you know, going back to what you said about the pride of schools with their sports, you know, ever since I've known you, Phil, you have just littered yourself all across southwestern Wisconsin and covered any sport that you know, people are willing to have you in their buildings and cover. And you know, I think back to your I'll never forget listening to your playback of the state championship last year for baseball and how you said Ithaca stole a state championship from Pocatonka. It's a great line and very fitting. So very much appreciate how you advocate for youth sports and the youth in general and, you know, promote the schools.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. Thanks for saying that. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, always good to be here, and I'll see if we can do this again.
Yeah, anytime. And you'll have your FFA here next week, too.
Yeah, that'll be great. I won't be here, and that's a good thing, but they will be here, and she's bringing along, I think, 5 officers. So hopefully they can get beyond the stage fright and jump in and have a lot of good things to say. But yeah, like I said, I'm sure they're going to talk a lot about the FFA week celebration, National FFA week. But, you know, also the Sheep Project seems to be doing well, and a lot of students pitching in and helping with that.
Yep. We've got a big splash. We've got a couple other FFAs coming in next week, too.
Good. So. That's great.
Good. Gary, safe travels, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you very much, Phil. Appreciate it.
Take care. Gary Siftestad, Superintendent at Weston, joining us on WRCO's Morning Show.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hi, this is Julie Cairns with State Farm. Like a good neighbor is not just a corporate slogan or a catchy jingle. It's much more than that. It's how we try to encapsulate the enormous amount of heart and soul that drives our business. It's a title to a story that started over 100 years ago. At Julie Cairns State Farm,